Good morning. Thank you all so much for being here this morning. We are the second week into a series called Get Your Prayer On, and we're so excited about this series. This past Sunday, Kevin McGee was able to join us and be the first one to preach on the topic of this Get Your Prayer On series. Kevin is the director of U.S. Engagement and Global Outreach with Converge, which is the church conference that our church is a part of. Kevin and his wife Ann are dear friends of Tim and mine. We were so glad that they were able to be here with us last Sunday. And last week, Kevin talked on battlefield prayers. He talked about how we are in the middle of a battle and what we need to do in battlefield prayers. If you missed last week's message, you definitely want to go back and listen to it online because it was really, really good. Kevin shared with us that we need to understand that we will live our whole lives on a battlefield and that our only hope is in Jesus. And if you came in this morning, you were handed a worship program. On the back of that worship program is some notes for you, and this is your first blank, so this would be a good time to grab a pen, okay? Last week, Kevin spoke to us that understanding that we will live our whole lives on a battlefield and that our only hope is in Jesus. Kevin said, we can't avoid the battle, but we never have to lose. And that's like an amen statement. We can't avoid the battle. We're going to be on it. But because of Jesus, we never have to lose, which is so amazing. And we do that through the power of prayer and trusting in God's strength. Again, if you missed that, go ahead and go online hear that from last Sunday. Now, those of you that were here last week, you also received some homework, okay? So I'm going to ask you to be real honest with us right now. How many of you guys did this homework? Raise your hand. Okay, not enough of you did this. Not enough of you did this homework. Okay, so we gave you this homework, and it was about prayer. And if you missed last week and you want one of these, there's some extra copies of this on the table as you walked into the auditorium. There's some extra copies of this. Now, you sat on or have with you a homework assignment for this coming week, okay? So there's brand new homework for this week. Now, if you want last week's homework and this week's homework, it takes about 15 minutes per day. To do one. So for those of you that have to catch up, you might have a half an hour a day of catch-up work to do. We just gave you homework Monday through Friday. You even get the weekends off, okay? So I think that you guys can do this. So for those of you that are here, make sure that you take this with you today and do this homework, because Pastor Tim's going to be bringing a message this coming Sunday, and he's going to ask you how you're doing. How are you doing on these things that we're handing out to you? So this past week's prayer devotional, we asked you questions of how is your prayer life going? With us being in this series of Get Your Prayer On, we want you to be honest with how is your prayer life going? And then also, what keeps you from being a person of prayer? If you didn't say great, then why? What's keeping you from being a person of prayer? We also asked you in this homework from last Sunday, what are some thought patterns, beliefs or attitudes that may be keeping you back from praying? What are some things that is going on in your life that you're believing about yourself or that you're thinking about that's keeping you from being a person of prayer? And I hope that you were honest with how you answered those questions. And we also asked you in last week's homework devotional, we asked you to make a commitment to be praying every day through the entire month of August. We asked you to make a commitment to doing that. And our hope is that if you make a commitment to praying every day for an entire month, that you'll be creating a new habit. And that habit loop will continue, and that you'll continue to be a person of prayer every day, all the time. Because our goal in this, and why we're doing this series, our goal is to have a church that prays. We want to be a church that prays. And as a teaching team, we kind of came up with a statement of what our goal is for this series, and that is that we believe that a person of prayer is a person of obedience. God calls us in his word as Christ followers to be people of prayer. So we believe that a person of prayer is a person of obedience, and that a person of prayer is a person of faith. When we pray, we're saying, God, I believe that you can move. I believe that you can do something. And I'm asking you to come into this situation and for you to do your thing. And I have faith that you can do it. I have faith and I believe that you can accomplish this. So we believe that a person of prayer is a person of obedience, and a person of prayer is a person of faith. And we desire for our church to be people of obedience. And we desire that our church be a church filled with people of faith. Wouldn't that be a great church if we were these things? So that's our goal of why we're going through this entire series. Okay, so how can we be that? How can we be people of prayer? So that's what I'm going to be teaching on today. What I'm going to be teaching us today is how to pray and how to be a people of prayer. And next Sunday, Pastor Tim is going to be speaking to you about why. Why should you be a person of prayer? Why do we pray? Okay, but today is the how. So I recently asked someone, what stops people from being a person of prayer? And they answered, maybe they just don't know how. And that's true. Maybe there's some of us that are in this room today that we're not people of prayer because we actually don't know how to pray. Nobody ever taught us how to be a person of prayer. Well, in today's message, we are going to be covering that so that you will have no more excuses, so that you can't say, I'm not a person of prayer because I don't know how. Well, if you're joining us here or you're joining us online, hi, online people, thanks for joining us, you will no longer be able to have that excuse of, I don't know how to pray, because we'll be learning that together today. Now, I've met with people, many people over the years that we've been in ministry that have not known how to pray. And you know what I suggest to them? I say, just do it. And I know that sounds like a Nike slogan, but it's kind of true. That like, if you don't know how to do something, you just have to do it. You just have to get started. You just have to do it. Because a lot of Olympians have learned this. You get very good at what you practice, right? If something's important to you, you're going to get started on it, and you're going to do it, and you're going to practice it, and it's going to be a part of your life. And what I want us to be a church is, I want to be us to be a church that's very good at prayer. And in order to be very good at prayer, we have to practice it. It has to become a normal habit and a normal routine in all of our lives. It needs to be something that we practice and that we do. And if you're not a prayer person, then just get started. Just do it. Just pray. And keep doing it, and then you'll feel more and more comfortable doing it, and it will become a habit in your life. So today, we're going to go to prayer kindergarten, okay? You ready to journey there with me? Because some of us in this room may not have ever been taught how to pray, so we're going to start at the very, very beginning, and we're just going to go to prayer kindergarten together. Now, for some of you, prayer is something that is an active part of your life, so just journey there with us, and we're going to just all go through this together, no matter where we're at in how we are people of prayer. So we're going to start at the very beginning. So when you first start a prayer, you normally start with something like, Dear Jesus, right? You normally start with something like, Dear Jesus. And so what I want to talk about is, do we have to start our prayers with the words, Dear Jesus? Is that the only way to pray? Is that the only way that God hears us? And I would say that these are really good questions, because I've been asked that question before. Do you have to start your prayers with Dear Jesus? That's not the way I start my prayers. And as an ex-school teacher, I would definitely say there's no such thing as a dumb question. It's okay to ask questions, because this is how we learn. And I have been asked that question. Do you have to start every prayer with a Dear Jesus? Is this the only right way to pray? And my answer to what I've told people that asked me that is no. You don't have to say Dear Jesus to start your prayers. As long as you know who you are praying to. As long as you are praying to Jesus, who we believe is the only true God, you can start your prayers however you want. You can start your prayers with, Welp, I'm here again. That's okay. God hears that. You can start your prayers with, Dear God. You could say, Dear Heavenly Father. You could say, Here we go. You could say, Hey, it's okay. It's okay. However you want to start your prayers, you just knowing, even as long as you're praying and knowing that you are talking to Jesus, you're good. You can start however you want. And then after you start your prayer, where you go from there is kind of up to you. And it's kind of like where you're at and what you want to be praying about. So you start your prayers. Then you go where you want to go in your prayers at that time. And then do you have to say amen at the end of your prayers? No, you do not. You don't have to say amen at the end of your prayers if you don't want to. You could say, that's all I've got for now. You could say, you could end your prayers with an amen if you want to, or you could say, well, that's it, Jesus. Whatever you want to say at the end of your prayers is totally fine. The word amen means so be it. And it's giving over to the Lord what you just prayed for and saying to him, now it's yours. However you want to say, now it's yours, if you want to end your prayers saying, now it's yours, that's fine. However you want to pray, it's up to you. There's one person that's on our New Hope prayer team, and he prays with us very regularly. And most of the time he says, well, here we are again. That's what he says. Well, here we are again. And then he prays, and then at the end of the prayer he goes, that's all I got. And that's how he prays. And you know what? God heard every single one of those prayers that he prays, right? So prayer is just your way of communicating. And the thing is, God knows you, and he knows your way of communicating. He made you. He knows everything about you. He already knows how you think. He knows how you talk. He knows how you process information because he knows all of your thoughts. He made you. And so if you think that you have to adopt a new way of communicating in order to pray, that's wrong. And a lot of people will say, I'm not comfortable praying because I can't pray like, and then they say somebody's name. Well, God didn't ask you to be that person. He asked you to be you, right? So you pray the way you pray, and God hears it, and he receives it, and he wants to hear from you. And so don't let that, well, I can't pray like so-and-so, stop you from being a person of prayer. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. It says this in the psalm. He's talking to all of us. So you pray you. You pray your way, okay? Prayer is just your way of communicating to a perfect and holy God. So remember, being a Jesus follower is not about religion. It's about relationship. Prayer is your way of communicating and having a relationship with God. You don't have to pray perfect in order to pray. It's your relationship with him. He knows you're not perfect. He knows that you had McDonald's for breakfast and that what you did last night. Like, he knows these things, okay? We're human, and he loves you. It's just your way of communicating and your way of having a relationship with God is how we pray. So now that we know how to start our prayers, and now that we know how to end our prayers, then I'm going to share with you how I pray. Now, this is just an example of something that you can use as a tool for you to get started in having a prayer life if it's not something that you are having an active prayer life, okay? This is just what I do. This is just an example. So I'm going to share with you what works for me. And I'm going to be sharing with you what we should be praying about. And by the end, we are all going to pray. All of us are going to pray. And all of us are going to pray out loud. Okay? So just be prepared that this is going to happen. Now, we're going to do it all together, all of us. And nobody has to stand up. And nobody has to do it all by themselves. We're going to do it all together, all of us at the same time, out loud. So nobody's going to be put on the spot. But I'm just preparing you. This is going to happen by the end of this message, okay? But it's going to be super easy. We got this. The 9 o'clock gathering did awesome at this. And if the 9 o'clock can do it, the 11 o'clock can do it, right? I believe this is going to happen. So this is what I'm going to share with you now, though, is what I do and how I pray. So this is my prayer journal. Do you know how I know it's my prayer journal? Because it says it on it. Prayer journal, okay? So this is what I grab every morning when I spend my quiet time, my personal devotional time with the Lord, is I use this prayer journal every day. And so what I start with as I open it is I start with a time of confession of my sins. So when I pray, the first thing that I do is remember that I am coming to a perfect and holy God and that I am not perfect or holy, okay? And so the first thing that I do is spend a time in just confession and just getting my heart right with God. And I'll tell you this, I've walked with the Lord for over 40 years now, and there has not been a day that I still have not had something to confess and ask his forgiveness for. And so I think it's good to start your prayer time with a time of remembering that he is God and we are not, and that we need to remember who we're going to, somebody who's perfect, somebody who's paid his life for us, for me, and say, dear Jesus, please forgive me. I'm not perfect, and I have things to confess to you. Please forgive me for that prideful moment that I had. Please forgive me for losing it with my words. Please forgive me how I was judging that person in my thoughts. Whatever it is, just have that time of like coming to God to say, you know, I'm not right, and I need to spend this time and ask you to forgive me for the things that I've done. And then after I do that, then the next thing I do is give praises to him. And how I do that is I write it down in my journal. So this is the journal that I currently have. I've filled lots and lots and lots of journals. This is the one that I have now. And what I do is I write down 5 things every day that I'm thankful for. And that's what I spend time doing, 5 things that I'm thankful for. And what I've discovered by doing this is that when I concentrate on things that I'm thankful for, that having a heart of gratitude helps me to be a person of joy. And I want to be a person of joy. And so, like I said, I do this in the morning. So sometimes it's really early. And sometimes you're like, the whole, here I am again, God, you know, and spending that time. And then when I get to these 5 things that I'm thankful for, like, I'm a lot less grumpy at this moment. I'm like, God is at work, and God's moving, and I have so much that I can be thankful for as a person, and just kind of giving back to him praise. I don't get super deep a lot of times with these 5 things. Whatever the first 5 things are that come to my mind, I write them down. So this morning when I was doing my devotions, the first thing that I wrote down was the word Jesus, because I'm super thankful for Jesus and what he's done. The second thing I wrote down was a day at home yesterday. I got to spend the entire Saturday day at home, the whole day. I didn't have to go anywhere. Is that doesn't normally happen in our world. I don't know if you guys normally get to stay home for entire days, but in our world that doesn't normally happen. So I was super thankful for that. The third thing that I was thankful for yesterday was our middle son, Nat, passed his driver's test and got his driver's license yesterday. So, yay, Nat! So now we have 2 teenage drivers in our house. You can pray for our family that we have 2 teenage drivers in our house. But he passed on his first try, which means that Tim and I didn't have to set up another appointment and take him again another time to do this. So way to go, Nat. And I was proud of him, and that was something I was thanking God for. The fourth thing I have is getting caught up on things at home. Do you ever have a day at home, and then you can use that to finally get caught up on some projects that have just been sitting there that are important, but you haven't had time to tackle them? Well, I got to tackle them yesterday. And then the fifth thing I wrote down was a family movie night last night. Last night, our whole family of 5 got to sit down and watch a movie together, which is not something that normally happens with busy schedules. And I was just glad that all of us got to be in the same place at the same time for a few hours and enjoy that moment together. So anyway, so those were my 5 things that I was thankful for. It's not super deep, like I said. It's just whatever comes to my mind first. And so I start with confession of sins. I go to a time of praise and of thanking Jesus for what he's doing. And then from there, I have a whole list of things that I pray for every day. And I pray those on that list. I pray for that I'll have victory over temptation. I pray for that I will fear the Lord. I pray for humility. I pray that I'll have gentleness and a quiet spirit. I pray for my thought life and attitude, for opportunities to witness to people. I pray for God's will in my life, that he'll give me direction. I pray that I'll speak edifyingly, that the conversations that I have will be building up. I pray that God will be glorified in all that I do, that God will provide for us, and that God will keep us safe and healthy. And these is just a list of everyday things that I pray for. And if you go in Scripture and look, you'll see that there's either an example in Scripture of somebody praying this, or it's something that God tells us to pray for. And so I just used examples from Scripture of my everyday prayers of things that I pray for every day. And then after I pray for those things, then I pray for our family every day by name, Tim, our three boys, our parents, and our siblings. And then there's seven ladies in my life that they've made a commitment to me that they'll pray for me every day, and I made a commitment to them that I'll pray for them every day. And so I pray for those seven ladies. So that is what I pray for every day. And then from there, I flip to whatever day of the week it is. And this is in your worship programs, and it's also going to be up here. So this is what I've decided to do. On Sundays, I pray for all of our extended family members. On Mondays, I pray for my own personal growth and spiritual journey. On Tuesdays, I pray for our global missionaries, our country, our schools, and for God to be known everywhere in our world. On Wednesdays, I pray for friends in our lives. On Thursdays, I pray for people we know that do not know Jesus yet, for leaders in our schools and community and our neighbors. On Fridays, I pray for our church staff and ministry leaders. And on Saturdays, I pray for more time to focus on prayer, praise, and confession. Saturdays, for me, are more of a reflection day, and just kind of, God, what else do I need to confess or praise to you? Saturdays are more of a reflection day. So this is what I do. This is how I've decided to spend my prayer time when I am spending my quiet time with the Lord. What works for me is a three-ring binder with tabs that I flip, and I have these things written. What I would say is come up with a plan that works for you. This might not work for you. I am very much old school paper pencil person. Pastor Tim has everything on an Evernote and Google Drive, okay? So he is more of a screen person. So this way of doing things might not work for you. You need to find your own way of doing it. Now, we told you last Sunday, for those of you that were here, that we were going to have journals that you could buy today, but USPS mail did not deliver for us this week. When we ordered them, they told us that they were supposed to be here that by the beginning of this past week, and they have not arrived yet. And so if you brought your $5 or $10 hoping to get one of those, hang on to it, bring it with you next Sunday, because I hope that they will be here by next Sunday. They guaranteed that they will be, so we're just going to trust that that will happen. So anyways, next Sunday we will have some journals available for you to purchase, and when you get one, if you decide to purchase one, I'd say don't just have it sit on your counter, like use it. Create a prayer pattern and habit for your life, and do something. Whether you decide that you want to pray for your friends on Fridays, and Fridays you pray for something different, however it's going to work for you, but I would say come up with a plan of the things that you should pray for. And the things that I mentioned are all things that God's word tells us to be in prayer over. And so I would say follow a biblical example of prayer, okay? Which I'm trying to give you one sample of doing that, but come up with a plan that works for you. Now, a lot of people will say to me, I want to be a person of prayer, but I don't exactly know what to pray. Like, you're giving me examples of what to pray for, but when I get to that day, what if on Wednesdays I pray for my friend Sally, but I haven't talked to Sally in a long time, and I don't really know what's going on in her life? I mean, what do I pray for people? What do I do? Well, actually, Paul in the New Testament gives us examples of things that he prayed for his friends. So we're going to look at that now. So in Colossians 1, 9 through 12, it says this. It says, for this reason, and this is Paul talking, since the day we heard about you, so Paul's saying, since the day that I heard about you, church, we have not stopped praying for you. So Paul's telling this to the church. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. So if you look at this example in Colossians, Paul is praying that the church will have knowledge of God's will, that they'll know what God wants them to do, that they will be bearing fruit, that they'll be growing in their knowledge of God, that they'll know God more, that they'll have strength, that they'll be strengthened, and that they'll have great endurance and patience. If you think about if somebody was praying for you, that you'll know what God wants you to do, that you'll know God more, that God will give you strength, and that you'll have endurance and patience for what you're doing. Wouldn't you want that? I mean, I would want that, right? I would want people to be praying those things for me. And in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it says this, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So in Philippians, Paul was telling the church in Philippi, "I'm praying that your love may abound, that you'll discern what's best, and that you'll be filled with the fruit of righteousness." So all these things are really great prayers to be praying for someone. I know somebody were to text me and say, "I'm praying for you today that God will give you strength, that God will help you to know how to love others, that God will give you wisdom about what he wants you to do today." I would text that person back in all caps and say, "Thanks," right? Like, we want people to be praying those things for us, and we should be praying those things for other people. So if you ever get to a time where you're like, "I'm just not sure what to pray," well, here's what Paul prayed for his churches. So I think we could use these as examples for us to know what to pray for other people as well. Now, I'm not going to go too deep into this because we're in the series about prayer, but what I do for my devotional time is, and also I spoke about this a couple years ago. There was a sermon series that we did, and Pastor Tim had me come up and share with everybody how I do my devotions so that people had an example of that. You can go back and find that message if you want. A lot of people have come up to me and told me that they went back and watched that message again and shared that with other people because they found that to be super helpful. I'm not going to go in all of the depth that I did in that sermon today, but just very quickly, I will share with you that I do my prayer journal. I write in my journal, and then what I do then after I pray is then I go into a study of God's word. This is my Bible. I'm really sad because, look, can you see this? Have you ever had a Bible that's starting to fall apart? Anyways, I like absolutely love this Bible. It's my friend. It has all my notes in it, and I'm sad that I'm going to have to get a new friend soon in a Bible because Bibles are very special to you. Anyway, so what I do and what works for me is I am just a big Bible reader. I am not a person that typically likes to do topical studies of topical study about fear or topical study about God's will or something like that. I'm not against those. I do those typically with other people and we study that together. But for like my own personal journey, I just stick to God's word and I just stick to the Bible. What I do and what, again, works for me is I start in Genesis and I read all the way through Revelation and I just read the whole Bible and when I'm done with it, I start all over again. So I've read the Bible cover to cover more times than I don't know how many times I've read the whole Bible. If you read 3 chapters a day, you'll get through the whole Bible in a year. And so that might be something that you might want to do. What I do say is 2 things. The first thing is we live in an age now with technology that there's no excuse for us to not be reading with the YouVersion app, with all of the technology of things that are on there. Verse of the day. I don't know how many different apps there are out there for a Bible verse of the day. How many different Bible studies and devotionals are out there. It's actually very overwhelming to me how much is out there. So we really live in an age where there's really no excuse. If you're not a reader, you just put some earbuds in and listen to it. you know? There's really no excuse for us to not be ingesting the word in some form on every day. That's my first thing, is that do what works for you. If you are not a open up the Bible and sit and read a few chapters person, then put some earbuds in and listen, or find a Bible app that works for you. The second thing I would say is this. Because there are so many resources out there, I would say just spend way more time in God's word, whatever version works for you, than you do in listening to another person's word. I mean, even when you do like topical studies and whatever, like they might be good, but God's word needs to be his best. And so always filter what you read in a book, what you're hearing on a podcast, what you're listening to in a devotional. You got to filter it through the truth of God's word. This is the only thing that's God inspired, is his word. This is the only thing that's God breathed, is his word. So, like, I'd say over 80% of a Bible study needs to be in your Bible, not listening to somebody else, okay? And I do listen to other pastors, I listen to sermons, I listen to podcasts, but the first thing I do is being God's word. And then that helps me to know, too, if I'm listening to somebody in a podcast or whatever, of going, I'm not really sure I quite agreed with that point, you know? But you got to know God's word to know. So be in the word. It's very important. Just do it. Okay. So I want to tell you guys a little personal story about myself. So when I was growing up as a kid, probably like late 80s, my dad owned this red Ford pickup truck, okay? It was just this normal red Ford pickup truck. It was a small cab. It was a two-door cab with a normal-sized truck bed, and it was a stick shift, so manual drive. And so it was just a small Ford red pickup truck. I think he liked it. It was his vehicle, okay? So the thing about this Ford pickup truck was that it had two bucket seats in it. So it was great for two people. Two bucket seats with a gear shift in the middle of the seats. So this was great if my dad was driving all by himself. However, if my dad had to pick my sister and I up from school, or if my dad had to drive my sister and I both to an appointment, there was one less seat per passenger. And so what would end up happening was my dad would sit in the driver's seat, my sister would sit in the passenger seat, and then I would sit with one cheek on my dad's chair and one cheek on my sister's chair, and I'd be straddling the gear shift, okay? So because I was the youngest, I got stuck in the middle with one leg over here and one leg over here and the gear shift in between my legs. And so what would end up happening is this: whenever we all three had to be together, I was the gear shifter. And so when we'd be driving and my dad would start revving up the engine and turn it on, he would tell me, first gear, and I'd pop in first gear. Second gear, I'd go to second gear, going faster. Third gear, fourth gear, red light coming. Third gear, second gear, first gear. And I was the one that had to always shift the gears for him. And as the years would go, I went on and I got older and stuff like that, I could start to hear myself, the engine, and know when it was time to shift gears. I could hear it when it was revving up and time to shift up, or slowing down, time to shift down. I could anticipate when it was time to shift gears. And also, I would keep my eye on my dad's leg. When his leg went to move towards the clutch, I knew it was time for my hand to be on the shifter. And so I grew up sitting, not in a seat, but kind of like straddling two seats and always being the gear shifter every time we had to drive with my dad in the truck. Now, why did I share the story, and what does any of that have to do with prayer? So my point with this is that in our prayer life, we have different gears. There's first gear prayers and second gear prayers and so on. And this is in your worship program, and I want to talk through this a little bit. So if you were driving along in your spiritual journey and you had first gear prayers are more like prayers for yourself or prayers for your favorite sports team. They're the kind of prayers that you're like, dear Jesus, help me in this moment. Or Jesus, in this moment, this is really important to me. So I pray that you'll come through for me in this moment. Okay? That would be a first gear prayer. A second gear prayer would be prayers for others that you know. Like, help Aunt Sally. She's having knee surgery next week, okay? Second gear prayers would be prayers for people that you know that are kind of close to you. Third gear prayers, I'd say, are prayers that are more like giving praise to Jesus. When you're gearing up your engine and you're getting towards third gear in your prayer life, I'd say this is more like thank you, Jesus prayers. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for your promises to me. That would be a third gear prayer. A fourth gear prayer would be something like praying God's word. Praying God's word. Like, in your word, you said this, and I want to claim that promise over my life today. Or in your word, you instruct us in this, and God, I want to do that, and I want to receive that, and help me to live into that, because your word says that, and I want to do that. So fourth gear prayers will maybe praying God's word. And for fifth gear, for those of you that know how to drive a stick shift, that's called overdrive, right? And overdrive would be like prayers of surrender. Of like, God, I surrender this to you. I don't know what's going to happen, and I know what I would like to have happen, but God, I want what you want. And so even if you say no to me about this prayer, I accept that. And I surrender. I surrender to your plan. I surrender to your will. God, make me be what you want. You come into this moment and do what you want to do. I surrender all my plans to you, and I say, God, just do your thing. That would be like fifth grade prayers. That'd be like prayer in an overdrive. Now, if you want to learn how to pray, it is kind of like learning how to drive in a manual car. And if you've never driven a stick shift before, you first learn by starting the car in first gear. Now, I don't know how many of you guys learned how to drive a manual stick shift car. I learned on that Ford red pickup truck. So when I was starting to be of age of learning how to drive, my dad taught me how to drive that Ford red pickup truck. But I had the kind of dad that never really made things super easy for you. So how he taught me how to drive was he'd park the truck on a big hill. And then he said, get in. And so it was sink or swim. Either I learned how to pop that thing in first gear or get going, or I was going downhill the wrong way really fast, right? And in our prayer life, it's kind of like that. It's like you just have to just get started. You just have to not be afraid to put the clutch down and move it into first gear and go, here we go, God. We're gonna do this, and we're going to do this together. So you turn on your car. That's when you say, dear Jesus. You get your engine going. However you want to start your prayer, you got to start the engine. You just start and say, dear Jesus. And you press down the clutch, and you shift it into first gear. And like me, you may stall a few times. You might not get it right the first times that you're starting to learn how to pray. And the thing is, with prayer, there's no right or wrong. It's, again, your relationship with Jesus is just you talking to him. And you're going to get your car moving forward. And you just start. And with practice, you'll get better and better, and the car will start moving faster and shift in. Then you'll start shifting into second gear prayers and third gear prayers and beyond. But it takes practice to do that. I say that first and second gear prayers are more like inward prayers. It's prayers for yourself, prayers for people that are in your inner circle. I say that third and fourth gear prayers are more upward prayers. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. I'm thankful for what your love for me. I'm thankful for that you're at move. And God, I know your word says this, and I accept that, and I want that. So fourth gear prayers are more, third and fourth gear prayers are more upward prayers. And then fifth gear prayers are, I would say, upward and outward. Fifth gear prayers are, I want what you want, and I want you to do it in these people's lives and in my life, but it's not focused on self at all. Now, does God care about first gear prayers? Yes. Absolutely, he does. There's nothing too small for God. He cares about the intimate details of our life. It's not wrong to pray first gear prayers. It's not wrong to do that at all. He cares about all of these things. My encouragement to you would be pray in all of these gears. And then as you go through life and as you listen to the engine, you'll know when it's time to switch gears. You'll know when it's time to switch, have your hand on that shifter and know when it's time to switch. Because in a prayer moment, you could start in one of these lower gears and quickly go to one of the higher gears. But God cares about every single one. He cares about all of our prayers. Now, can you go through your entire Christian life and only pray first gear prayers? Yeah, you could. There's a lot of people that I know that they spend their entire Christian life in first gear prayers, and that's okay. I mean, could you get from here to California in a stick shift car in first gear? Eventually, you'll get there, right? I mean, you could stay in first gear and drive a really long way. It's just going to take you a while to get there. So just like this us, you'll eventually get there. It's going to take a while. But in your prayer life, you need to decide what gear you want to pray to. Do you want to stay as a first gear Christ follower, or do you want to mature and to go through the gears? If you're learning to pray, I would say, as I keep saying this, just start. And as you journey along and grow, hopefully your prayer life will become rich and deep and more purposeful and meaningful in your relationship with Jesus. But prayer does take time. And you have to make time in your day for prayer. So what we encouraged you last week in your homework time is to pick a time every day that you're going to pray. Because all of you guys know this, how this works. If you're going to start a habit, but you don't decide beforehand when you're going to put that new habit into place, you're going to go, well, I was going to start this habit, but last week I was busy, so that didn't happen. So I'm going to start it soon, though, and like a whole month will go by, and you'll tell a friend will be meeting with you, and you're like, how's that going? Oh, gosh, you know, I'm glad you asked. I just haven't gotten started on that yet, right? When we're going to start a new habit, we have to create a plan. We have to create, this is when I'm going to do it. You could decide that you're going to start running a mile every day, but until you decide, I'm going to start running a mile every day as soon as I get home from work every day, you're probably not going to do it. You need to have a plan of when you're going to do it. And last week in your prayer homework that you guys should have done, okay, we're just going to say that, you guys were supposed to write down, this is when I'm going to pray every day. This is the time that I'm going to do it. For me, I'm more of a morning person, so I do it when I first wake up in the morning. And we still have children in our house, and they are school-aged children, so that means that I have to wake up pretty early. So our boys get up at 6:30 on a typical school day, so I get up at 5. And so when I get up at 5, then I spend time doing my quiet time, I spend time doing my devotions, and I exercise, and I hop in the shower, and then at 6:30, they start getting up. If I wait till 6:30 to do it, it's not going to happen because my day's already at full speed by 6:30. Now, because of the fact that I get up early, I go to bed early. And so that doesn't work for me. Maybe you are more of a night person and that you think more clearly and you're good to go. Maybe you can do your day and before you go to bed at night, that's when you do your devotions. Or maybe you have the kind of job that has the same hour for lunch every day. Every day I have lunch from 11 to 12. That's my Monday through Friday thing. And normally for your lunch hour, maybe you go to your break room and you go on your phone and check your social media or play a game of solitaire or whatever it is. Maybe you could make a new habit of your lunchtime. You're doing your devotions and that you're spending time in prayer and you're spending time in God's word. I would say pick what time works best for you and then just make it a habit to do it and stick to it. And I would also say this, I'm saying all of this and I know that for those of you that have not made this a habit, it can sound very intense like, wow, she spends a lot of time in prayer and in God's word every day. Most of the time, my devotions take about 20 minutes. And that's with the writing down the five things, being in prayer, reading three chapters, writing down a couple of verses, 20 minutes. And so what we're asking is, could you make that a habit? If that's not something that you already have as a habit in your life, could you make a time every day at this time for 20 minutes, I'm going to be spending time with Jesus? I guarantee you won't regret it. Your life will be more full. Your life will be more purposeful, and God is going to start to move in your lives in ways that he wasn't moving before. So I want to encourage all of you in doing this. Prayer is a spiritual discipline, and it's something that we as Christ followers are called to do. But like with any discipline or habit, we just have to make time for it, and we just have to do it. Because another thing I want to say to you is that unless prayer is a vital and thriving part of your life, you're never going to achieve spiritual victory. If you haven't asked God to move in that area of your life, he's not going to move. And it's not because he doesn't care. Sometimes, and this is, Pastor Tim will be praying, preaching about this in the next couple of weeks. Sometimes God just wants us to ask him. And if we're not asking him, he's not going to show up in that way, because he's like, I wanted to do it, but you never asked me. God sometimes wants us to be the one knocking at the door saying, can you do this, God? And so if we want to achieve spiritual victory in our life, prayer has to be a vital and thriving part of our lives. I want to give you a couple examples in scripture about why prayer should be an active and thriving part of our lives. So this is why, because God tells us to. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We are to pray sometimes, pray continually, right? All the time. Another version of this says, pray without ceasing. You say, never stop praying. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. God's asking us to pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, and to always keep on praying. And in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. In every situation. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So God asks us to pray continually on all occasions and always keep on praying for every situation. Do you think that prayer is important to God? Yes. It's so important. It's important how often we pray. It shouldn't be something that we do occasionally or some of the time. It should be something that's a habit of ours that we do all of the time. So I would ask you, how are you praying for yourself? And how are you praying for others? And how are you praying for the world? And how are you praying for God's plan and for God's will to be done? And I would ask, do you listen as the engine in your life changes sound to know when it's time to change gears in your prayer life? So these are just my challenges to you. So I told all of you that by the end of my message that we are all going to pray together. And so for some of you, you'll be very comfortable with this because prayer is a normal part of your life and normal routine for you. But others in this room, you may not feel as comfortable doing this. So I've met with several people over all of the years of doing ministry that actually more than several, but that they'll say to me, I'll say, well, we're going to pray. And then they look at me and they whisper, I've never prayed out loud before. And guess what I tell them? Well, you are today. Okay? You are today. So what I've done for those people that say to me, I've never prayed out loud before, and I say, well, you are today. I say, how about this? I'm just going to tell you one thing to pray for. Just one specific thing to pray for. And so I think that all of us can do that, right? We can just pray for one thing to pray for. If I'm with a group of people and I'll say, all I'm going to ask you to do is pray for the person beside you. Okay, so that's not what we're going to do today, but that's an example of one specific thing to pray for. I would say if you haven't prayed out loud, just start with one thing. So we're all going to practice this, and we're all going to do this all together, okay, all of us. So what I want you to do is right now we're going to start our engine, okay? And what I want you to do, all of us in this room, on the count of three, we're going to say, Dear Jesus. That's it. Okay, on the count of three, say, Dear Jesus. We're going to get our engine started. Ready? One, two, three. Dear Jesus. Okay, good. But not all of you did it, so we're doing it again. I have eyes, folks. I can see what is going on here. Okay, on the count of three, every single one of you in this room. Ready? One, two, three. Dear Jesus. Good job. I knew you could do it. All right, we're good. Our engines are started. So what we're going to do is this. We're going to pray out loud this prayer, okay, all of us. And we're all going to say, Dear Jesus, thank you for, and I want you to think of one word or two words that you would fill in that blank with. Okay, start thinking. Thank you for just one word, maybe two. And then I pray for, and then one word, maybe two. Okay? And you're gonna say this out loud. Everybody's going to say this out loud. And then we'll say amen. So we're going to pray. We're going to say, Dear Jesus, thank you for, and say this whole thing out loud, and say that one or two words out loud. And then I pray for, and then say it out loud. One or two words. And then amen. You guys got it? Do you have those blanks in your mind? Are you going to pray?
Yep.
Okay. We're all going to pray this out loud, all together, everybody, okay? And it's going to be great. You guys can do this. I know you can. All right? Dear Jesus, thank you for, say the one or two words. I pray for, say the one or two words. Here we go. One, two, three. Dear Jesus, thank you for our church, God. I pray for us to be people of prayer. Amen. And God, you heard every single one of those prayers. And it may have seemed simple. And it may have seemed silly, God, but it wasn't simple or silly to you. You heard every single one. And you care about every single one. And God, I'm thankful that we have a church at this moment that prayed. I'm thankful for a church that a prayer. God, we were that at this moment, and there's power in that. God, I just pray that you will help us to be a people of prayer, that with obedience and with faith, God, that we will be people that come to you with our dear Jesus, and that we will be people that make praying to you a habit, because you want that communication with us, you want that relationship with us, God, because you value us, because we're your kids, and you want us to come to you as our Father and say, God, show up and move. Do something and help the situation, and for you to be glorified, and for people to come to know you, and for you to show up. And God, I pray that we will be a church that asks and that comes to you and that spends that time. Lord, we thank you that you love us. We thank you for that you are a God that hears and that cares and that understands, and that we will be a church of prayer. And I ask this in your name I pray. Amen.